Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Then over to John, the Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 1. You have to forgive me. I'm breaking in a new Bible, and things are not where they used to be. And anyway, John chapter 1, starting at the first verse. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame or comprehended it not. And then back to Exodus chapter 20. I told you this is a sword drill. Exodus chapter 20, starting at the first verse. This is a preacher trick. You know how you can tell when people are there? You quit hearing the pages flipping. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. And God spake all these words. Listen. And God spake all these words. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water underneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers unto the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And then over to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 22. Excuse me. Matthew chapter 22, starting at the 34th verse. Matthew 22 and 34. And when the Pharisees had heard that he, the Lord Jesus, had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And then Mark and Luke add, and with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then back to Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. And he, the Lord Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, that in all things, he might have the preeminence. In other words, the first position in everything. And then one more, back to the Old Testament in Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. And verse 14. How are we doing? Keeping up? Joshua 24 and verse 14. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, says Joshua, and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, bless your word. Help us, Lord, to be doers of the word. Pray for my friend Captain Jack and the lesson that he'll bring to us tonight. And we pray that it will find fertile ground in our hearts and our minds. For your good and for your glory, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you turn me down just a skosh? I'm whistling to myself up here. Well, how are you sitting back there? You should be sitting up here in the front row. She's laughing. This last passage let's look at that just very quickly. Joshua is talking to the children of Israel. They've come into the land. God has brought them through the desert. He brought them through the wilderness. He's brought them into the land. He's defeated their foes. And now Joshua challenges them. And he says to them, number one, fear the Lord. You know, I think the fear of the Lord is something we kind of soft pedal sometimes. But if you stop and think about it, you know, your heartbeat depends on God. Your breath depends on God. If I had a little button here that I could at any whim stop your heartbeat or stop your lungs, you'd treat me really nice. You wouldn't? I don't have to worry about you. I think we should fear the Lord. I see professing Christians all the time who live like the devil. But they say they're Christians. You know, you can't have it both ways. That list that we read of my friend Joe Spivey, that's God's word. And it says if you want to play around with those things, you won't go to heaven. You want to hook up on the weekends? You won't go to heaven. You want to shack up through the week? You won't go to heaven. And this isn't just young people, by the way. Older people, if you can imagine this, are shacking up and drawing welfare. And if you shack up, you get double welfare instead of being married, and you only get one. Well, you better enjoy your welfare because you won't be well there. Right? Because that's a promise of God. You want to do those things? He said, hey, your choice. Your choice. Do what you want to do. But if you want to go to heaven, you should obey me. The wise man built his house on the rock. What made him a wise man again? I'm going to pick on you. This is good to pick on. This guy's got a loud voice. And he's right some of the time.
Take heed what Lord Jesus said, by obeying and put into practice.
Yes. Listen, that's a great passage for the gospel. I've used it myself. It's not a gospel passage. It's an obedience passage. He that hears these sayings of mine and gets saved. No. He that hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a wise man who built his house, his life, on a rock. That rock is the rock of a life of obedience to God's word. This is an instruction manual for a people. Basic instructions before leaving earth, Bible. Basic instructions before leaving earth. It tells us what we should do if we want our life to go well. It tells us what we shouldn't do if we don't want our life to go well. And the wise man builds his life on hearing what God says and then doing it, whether we like it or not. I don't always like what God has on my little piece of the road. I don't always enjoy it. I don't always agree with it. Doesn't matter, right? Because the one who has the button is telling me what I should do and what I shouldn't do. I'll pick on you. Let me go down here. It's easier to pick on this side. I'm right-handed. So let's say I come over here to the lifeguard. And the lifeguard says, what's number one rule in the pool? Huh? Louder. Walk. I don't want to walk. I've run in the pool before. I didn't have any problem. Who do you think you are to tell me to walk? And you say, get out of the pool. Get out of the pool. But, get out of the pool. Listen, she's little, but she's got the power. Right? And you don't run in the pool, because when you run in the pool, probably, you might get by once or twice, but probably you're going to sounds like zip. Probably you're going to trip or fall. No, that doesn't rhyme with zip. Slip, right. Probably you're going to trip or slip. You might get by with it once in a while, right? But the once in a while is going to end, and you're going to trip or slip, break your, sounds like bed, head. We're going to have to call an ambulance, haul you away, and you're going to miss the rest of camp. And she's going to say, who said that? She's going to say,
told you so.
Told you so. Didn't hurt her. She's sitting in her little spot. People are bringing her nice drinks. Being nice to her. If it was a guy, they wouldn't get nothing, you know. Nothing. Girls get all the breaks. You got the power. Look up. You got the power, right? You run the pool. Queen of the pool. It's not nice to mess with the queen of the pool, right? Why do you make a rule like that, stupid rule like that? I've run in pools a lot of times. Nothing's ever happened. Look at my head. Look at my brain. Don't look at my brain. Why do you make silly rules like that?
Because if two people are running, they might crush into each other and they can fall.
Yeah, she's coming into her own now. We're getting on. Right? They might run into each other. Might break their little heads. Get hurt. It isn't just because she's an arbitrary weenie, right? There's rules for a reason. And you make rules about what you can't do, right? And then you make rules about what you can do when you're climbing on that rock thing. You should see me climb on that rock thing. In my Speedo. It's impressive. There's rules for climbing on that rock thing, isn't there? So here she is, queen of the pool again, and she's going to tell them these are the things you can't do. Now, over here, these are the things you can do. Because those things make it what? This is hard, isn't it? Picking on you. Those rules make it safer for you to climb on the rocks, right? They're not just arbitrary rules. And listen, God is exactly the same way. He has rules for us, things we should do because it's good for us. He's got other rules that are things we shouldn't do because they're bad for us. You might think, what's so bad about that? Everybody's doing that. What's bad about it is it's not good for you. And the thing about God is he can see around corners. And he knows what's down the road around that next corner. And it's not good for you. You can go ahead and do it, but it's not good for you. And we need to fear the Lord because he controls the key. There's a man, my friend lives in North Carolina. There was a man who was the pillar of his community, a doctor. And everybody thought the world of him. He was a philanthropist. He gave a lot of money. He did a lot of good things. Only thing was he had a girlfriend on the side. He was married with kids. Had a girlfriend on the side. And one day he's over visiting his girlfriend and has a heart attack in the midst of his visit. You know how he'll be remembered in his community? Nobody will remember all the good things he did. Nobody will remember all the money he gave. What they'll remember is, oh, isn't that the guy that had the heart attack, you know? Right? And my friend says, his reputation will last long after he's in the ground. And it won't be a good one. Right? Think about that. If you're a believer, the Lord is wherever you are. Whatever you do, he's there. Because he's in you. Wherever you go, he goes with you. You go to a wrong place, you're going to feel him. Brown, get me out of here. Stinks in here. I don't like it in here, Brown. Come on. Get me out of here. He's very tangible. Now, he won't pull on your shirt, probably. But you'll know he's there. He's talking to you. Fear the Lord. Put away those other gods that your fathers served on the other side of your river. What are you, a sheep? You're going to follow your father in everything? Put him away. It doesn't matter what he did. You're a new generation. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, listen, do this. Choose you this day who you will serve. And then he gives some descriptions. The gods which your father served when they were on the other side of the river, Mesopotamia and Egypt, across the Euphrates. You and I, as New Testament believers, you could say, those are the gods of the old life before you were a believer. Lots of things you might have done when you were non-believer. The gods of the flesh. Choose who you're going to serve. You're going to go back and serve the gods of the flesh? Or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Now you're a believer. Listen, there are people in the church, people who profess to be Christians, like the Amorites, you dwell with them as a believer, and they may still be serving idols. Right? You're going to serve those idols from Egypt, the old life? Or are you going to serve the idols that are around you where you dwell in your new life? And let some carnal Christian lead you off like a pig with a ring in its nose. Right? And Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Do what you want to do, but we're going to serve the Lord because he fears the Lord. All right? If you remember, he was one of the two spies that came back with a good report. All right? Let's take the land. Oh, no, big giants, big walls. Oh, no, no, oh, we can't do that. Oh, they'll eat us alive. Let's go. Let's go get them. Caleb's 80 years old. They're picking their land. He says, give me the mountain with the giants on it. Right? Wouldn't you like to be that kind of a giant slayer? Well, there's giants in your Christian life, too. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. If you're a Christian, then serve the Lord. Unwavering. Unwavering. No compromise. Serve the Lord. You'll probably lose some friends over it. It's okay. They really weren't your friends anyway. If they were your friends, they wouldn't try to coax you into those things. Girls, if he loves you, he wouldn't ask you to do anything that was wrong. Oh, show me that you love me. You break, fool. Huh? Huh? Not that boys do those things, but being one myself, I can tell you they do. You don't have to prove anything, right? You be the young man or young lady of God. And young men, if you're dating some girl, treat her right. And if she doesn't like to be treated right, then find a different one. All right? You don't need some slob. All right?
Amen.
I'm saying that nicely. But there are evil men out there looking for a girl that they can take advantage of, and there's evil women out there that are looking for a guy they can take advantage of. Used to be. Well, anyway. So I brought a friend along tonight. That was just a little... Well, I'll tell you one more story. What time do we go to? Don't tell me 8.
10.
My family, we used to take our sailboat down to Florida every year. If you've never sailed, try it sometime. It's a wonderful sport. It's a wonderful life. We'd take the boat down to Florida. We'd anchor in a place called East Pass in Destin, Florida, and just have a ball for a month. There was a little gas dock there that we would go to. Have I told this story? Okay. A little gas dock there that we would go to, and about once a week I'd pull over and we'd get water and ice and fuel, and we'd go back on the anchor. It's free on the anchor, right? And so this particular day we went over and I topped off the water and topped off the ice and got the fuel filled, and I looked over and there's an old man sitting on the steps over here. This old man had a boxer dog, and his claim to fame is he would take full beer cans and throw them in the water, and this dog would dive like 20, 30 feet down to the bottom, open its mouth, get that beer can in his mouth, and swim back up and give it to his master. How do you do that? I don't know. It was kind of neat, though. Well, anyway, he was sitting over on the step. So I went over and said, hey, hi, how are you doing? Oh, doing good. He said, you from around here? I said, nope, in that sailboat down there. We're just about to pull out onto anchor and have some more fun out there. And he said, I said, well, are you from here? Oh, yeah, he said, I own the gas dock. In fact, he said, I own everything from the ocean across that little peninsula of land, across the bay, East Pass, to here, to the gas dock, and up the hill to Highway 90. He said, my grandfather washed ashore out there on the ocean front in a hurricane. And so he bought it. And he bought everything from the ocean to the highway. He's a wealthy man. Doesn't look like it, but he's a wealthy man. I said, well, you've seen a lot of changes in your day. He said, I sure have. I said, what do you think about all those condos out there on that spit of land? He said, well, you know, they're built on sand. And only a fool builds on sand. He said, one of these days we're going to have another hurricane and I'll have my land back. Only a fool builds his house in disobedience to God. Right? It's awful easy to do. Well, I want you to meet my friend. This is Captain Jack. He's a man who's near and dear to me. I won't wear this while I'm preaching, but this is a hat like he's wearing here. It's a Mediterranean captain's hat. I wouldn't say all, but most all of the fishermen running fishing boats in the Mediterranean wear a hat like this, just exactly like this. This is where it came from. So I wore this hat when I was captaining our boat or any other boat. It's comfortable. It's wool. It's wool. I'll just tell you a little bit about his garb here. His hat, it's wool. His sweater, this blue sweater, the Navy today, I think, when I was in, they issue this same sweater. It's a blue wool sweater. Why do you suppose they give you a wool sweater when you're out in the ocean in warm weather? Yeah, but it's hot out. You had your hand up. Were you just airing your hand?
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you suppose they give them a wool sweater? Why not a cotton one? Do it again. That's possible, but that's not the main reason. You're close, though. It's hot, 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 so hot. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Wool sheds water. And so with a wool sweater, you get spray from the ocean coming up when you're sailing, and it gets on that sweater, and if it was cotton or something like that, you'd be like a wet rat by the end of the day. A wool sweater will shed that water and keep the little pink body that's inside of it dry. And then sometimes you'll get a whopper of a wave, and it'll wash the deck. It'll come right over the deck from one end of the boat to the other. I've seen them where, on our boat, we've seen them where they're almost waist deep, where the boat just goes virtually underwater, comes out. And little Bobby's up there trying to get sails changed, and Joanne's back in the back on the tiller, and she's hollering at me, "Get out of there, fool, you're going to wash over." No, anyway. And so you wear a slickers. Oilies, they used to call them, because they were oiled skin. Today they've got much better fabrics for that, but they're chest high, right up to your armpits. So no matter how deep the water comes, and then you've got rubber boots, and they're sealed. So you're kind of in a little cocoon. And then you've got a jacket oily that'll go over all of that if it really gets foul. So that's a little bit about his little outfit. He's got a pocket on the front where he can carry survival items in case he does get washed over, things like that. In the Navy, who knows why the Navy had bell-bottom pants? Well, when you fall up... Yeah, they go over the big boots, yep. But the real deal is when you fall overboard, it's hard to get your pants off in the water. And bell bottoms are very wide at the bottom so they can come off, and yet you can leave your shoes on, because if you have to walk across a coral reef, you don't want to walk barefoot, so you wear your shoes. So you don't ever take your shoes off. But you do pull your pants off, and that seems a little strange. But what you do is you tie a knot in the end of each leg and then take it and go, and you get water wings. Smart stuff, these sailors. You know, Navy uniforms got a flap on the back. Ever see them? You know why they got that? Well, in the old days, sailors didn't cut their hair. They had pigtail, came down the back, and they'd tar them. That's why sailors are called tars sometimes, because they would tar that pigtail. And they didn't want to get their uniform all tarry, so they'd put a little flap on the back of their uniform to keep the tar off their uniform. So anyway, a little bit of trivia. Captain Jack, somebody read this Proverbs 23:26 for me. Proverbs 23:26, sword drill. Who's the first one? He'll get a piece of candy from him. Or him. Where's our sport guy? Oh, over here. You get a piece of candy from him, the sport guy. First one. Too late. Snooze, you lose. Go ahead.
My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways.
Okay. My son, give me thine heart. Captain Jack was an orphan. His dad was a drunk and left home, left his mother to support the family. Oh, little guys, if the little guys want to come up here, there's a few seats up here, or you can sit on the floor. You will want to do that, little guys. if you behave yourself. We're big guys if you behave yourself. Okay, nobody's moving. Okay, so Captain Jack's dad was a drunk. He left the family, never to be heard from again. Probably died, nobody knows. His mother tried to work to support the family and worked herself to death. She died. Captain Jack, as a little boy, was taken in by his grandmother. And his grandmother was a Christian. And she would take him to church and teach him about the Bible and about God. But to him, it was just an intellectual exercise. And what he really liked the best about church was the church was built in a spot where he could look out his Sunday school room window and see the tall ships coming in and going out. Sailors working up in the rigging, getting the anchor up, getting the anchor down. And Jack thought, that's the life I want. I want to go to sea. I want to be a seaman. I want to ride those tall ships with the big sails. And so, at about 13, he ran away from home. And he went to sea as a cabin boy on a tall ship. Three-masted. Beautiful ship. And he spent just about all the rest of his life at sea on these ships. And as he would go different places, and he was interested in the cultures of these different people. He'd never seen people like he saw as he traveled. One of the first stops that he made was in Alaska, and he would, each place he went, he would inquire what they thought about God. Is there a God? He's sorting these things out in his mind. They went to Alaska, and they showed him who God was. And this is their God. And it's got this eagle on the top, which was the pinnacle of their God creature. But if you look real close, what's down here? Way down at the bottom.
Naked baby.
Yeah, a person, right? A human. We're kind of descended from these gods, but they're still way above us. It's just a little, yeah, naked baby. See him? Tucked in between the legs of this, I think it's a monkey at the bottom. See him? This was, and they worship this stuff. See him? See the little guy down here at the bottom? So it's not like you are the supreme of God's creation. You're just a naked baby down at the bottom underneath all these other ones. Jack thought, I don't know about that, you know. Well, their next step, they went to Hawaii. And they met the God of Hawaii. And this is King Kamehameha. He took all of the tribes of Hawaii and brought them together under his leadership. He's holding his God. Pretty ugly critter, I think. But he's holding his God, but the people worshiped him as God. And the way he brought the islands, each island had a different king, the way he brought the islands together was, if you were against him, too bad, he threw you off a place called the Pali. It's a high cliff that just drops off to the North Shore where now they do all the surfing. And he just threw them off the Pali, hundreds and hundreds of people, and just murdered them. You either worshipped him or you died. From there, he went to the South Pacific. And this is one from Hawaii, but it's the same God in the South Pacific, in French Polynesia today. And this is anybody know what they call him? Huh? Tiki. Yeah, this is Kutiki, which is the God of power. No. Pretty heavy, huh? No. I thought he was the God of power. It's really light. He bought Kutiki, the god of power, took him back to the ship, and thought, I'm going to use him for a doorstop. What are you laughing about? It's the God of power. It's made out of monkey pod wood. It's kind of like balsa wood, right? Did that hurt you? No. Can't even hurt a little girl with him, you know? Made out of monkey pod wood. It's kind of like balsa. It's a little heavier than balsa wood. He used it for a doorstop on the ship. The first time the ship rolled, Kutiki ran across the room. He said, you know, I don't know about these gods, you know. I really don't know. Well, from there they went down to South America. And in South America they have this god. And you can call him if you want to talk to him. You can call him and he'll come over and do whatever you want. What does he look like? You got it. He's like a toucan. It's about a half a four can. No, he's a toucan. Right? Toucan. And they worship the toucan. But you know, if toucan doesn't come through for you, you can't call four can. He doesn't exist. So, well, maybe you want to worship, what's that? What is that? What is that? Huh? What is that? Come on, help me out. Huh?
Is that a dinosaur?
No.
A chicken.
Huh?
A chicken.
Looks kind of like a chicken. Not a chicken, though. Toucan?
Parrot.
Oh, parrot. Yeah. If toucan doesn't do anything for you, well, you can just call an old parrot man. And parrot guy will help you. But you know, you can't always count on a parrot. And so if you can't count on a parrot, you can call on this guy. What does that look like?
A fishy.
No, a fish.
Cow?
Huh?
Cow?
No, close. What does that look like? Huh? Oh, I heard it. Huh? A pig, yeah. You don't like the toucan, you don't like the parrot, call on the pig. He'll do something for you. I mean, they covered their bases, you know. And if all of those fail, you can call on this guy.
Elephant.
No? Close. You're so hot.
A rhino.
A rhinoceros. That's not how you pronounce it, though, is it? A rhinoceros. Listen, true story, they worship these. Captain Jack thought, I don't know. Well, from there, they went over to Africa. And in Africa, more South Africa, they had witch doctors. This is a witch doctor mask. And they convinced the people that they could do black magic. They really worshiped their ancestors and the trees and things like that. And I don't like that army couple, I'd call the witch doctor and say, I want you to cast a spell on that army couple. And so he'd do a lot of rigmarole, like he was really doing something. What he'd really do is he'd sneak in their house, he'd put poison in things. And sure enough, they'd get sick, they might die. And you believed in the witch doctor then, right? Powerful guy. Fake, right? Listen, our God is not a fake. Our God's not a fake. Well, wait till you see this. Went up to Egypt. I'm going to give you another chance. You can redeem yourself here. You ready? Ready? The big reveal. Ready? A frog. The frog god. Remember when the Lord plagued Egypt? Remember, one of the plagues was the frogs. Right? Every one of those plagues was aimed at showing that a particular god had no power. He said, oh, you want to worship a frog? I'll show you frogs. You got them coming out your ears. Right? How are they? How do you like your frog now? The frog god. Slimy. Well, 2nd thought is going to come up front now, huh? Admission is higher. Went down to South America again, and they found this guy. This is a god from down in South America. Now listen, most of these, they still worship today. In amongst it, God has his voice. A good friend of mine, a man named T. Ernest Wilson, missionary to Angola. He went down there when he was a young man. And he learned their language by, he'd take glasses and they'd say, ungamunga. So he'd write down glasses equals ungamunga. He'd say, and they'd say, bacha. Pen equals bacha. He developed a language of equivalence where eventually he could communicate. They had no written language. Eventually he could communicate with them by the words that he had learned. He translated the Bible into, I think, 3 different dialects. When he finally got to that point, he would go into a village and say, "Do you believe in God?" And this is what he was told. "Oh, yes, there's absolutely a God." "Well, is it a God that you can talk to? Is it a personal God?" "No, God does not talk to us anymore. The elders tell us that he used to, but years ago, he sent his son to the forest in the form of a deer, and the hunters killed him, and God will not speak to us ever since." Does that sound familiar? Right? All he had to do was to fill in the blanks. It's absolutely true. God loves you, and he sent his son to the jungle. And men did kill him. But he didn't die because men killed him. He died because he laid down his life to pay for your sin. He went to one village and was talking with them, and they said, "Oh, you believe like the tree man." He said, "The tree man?" "Yeah, the tree man. Where can I meet this tree man?" He said, "Outside of town, outside of the village." So he went outside the village, looking around. Pretty soon he finds the tree man. He's up way in the top of this big, tall tree. "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm worshiping." "What are you worshiping?" "I'm worshiping God." "Oh, is this tree God?" He said, no, "I'm worshiping the God who made this tree." So when you get concerned about the pygmy in darkest Africa and how you're going to ever hear the gospel, I can tell you my friend Tiernis Wilson says the gospel gets to everybody. One way or the other, they will hear. And if they're open, whatever they're open to, they will get more. And the Lord sent Tiernis Wilson. He was the first white man in Angola. And so this guy, he's a pretty ugly dude, what do you think? Now, I got to ask you a question. Do you see anything on him that looks familiar? Huh? What did it say? Real loud so they can hear in the back. The people who didn't move up here so they can hear you way in the back.
It's a frog.
A frog right here. I wonder how frog God gets all over the world. It's almost like there's something supernatural behind it, isn't it? Right? Think so. The devil is behind these false gods. Well, there's a ton of them. He went to Japan. This is a little ivory Buddha, little fat tummy. They go sacrifice vegetables and things to him. He's quite pretty. It's just a fake. This is a dancing Buddha, little fat belly. Dancing. Picture him in a Speedo. Went to India. Here's a Shiva. This is the highest deity of the Hindu religion. They don't even know how many gods. They estimate 330 million gods. There's a God for everything. This is the highest of the lot. If you come down to New Orleans, you'll see these tourists buy them. It's not funny, and it's not a good tourist thing. Anybody know what these are called? Ugly doll, right? Huh? Anybody know what these are called? You got a half an arm. Voodoo doll. You don't like your friend or whatever, you take a little pin and stick it in his arm and he's supposed to get arm pains, or stick it in his head, he's supposed to get headaches. Again, they deal, and this goes on today, 11% of the greater New Orleans area would say that they are voodoo practitioners. That's their religion of choice, 11% of a major city in the U.S. And if this doesn't do it, then you call the witch doctor, and he puts together one of these. This is a gri-gri. It's a little potion sack. You can have them to generate love. If there's a girl that you want to fall in love with you, he'll generate a gri-gri for love and hide it in her house or his house. In reality, it's just like the other ones. Most of it's done with poisons. So my friend back here is a Louisiana couple, Louisiana boy. It's real. So here's one that you'll read about in your Bible. This is a little guy. He's reclining. He's got his knees up. He's got a little lap like this. And in his lap is a little basin. You see him? Little face. All right. See him? See a little basin here? See him? In the face, there's a little basin. All right. This one's in the Bible. What do you suppose that basin is for? Anybody know who this is?
Moloch.
This is the one where they take him and he's hollow and they build a fire inside of him until he's metal and he's red hot. And then you can take your little baby down and put him in the basin. Sacrifice him to Moloch. We don't use Molochs today, but we sacrifice our babies to the god of self. It's Moloch. Well, listen, the more he saw these, the more he thought, this is just bogus. This is not like my grandmother taught me about the God of the universe who made us. And so he got saved. Somebody he ran into in a bar one day talked to him, and he said, you know, the trouble with you, Captain Jack, is that your heart is black with sin. And the Bible says that all have sinned, and what you've earned for sin is death. But he said, the great good news is that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you from all sin and turn your heart white as snow. However, you've got to apply it yourself. Nobody can do it for you. Your grandma can't do it. Only you can do it. And Jack got saved that day, came home to the United States. And to his astonishment, when he got to the United States, he found that Americans had idols too. Right? Americans miss meetings for these. Anything you put between you and God is an idol. Anything that displaces God is an idol. We don't think they're idols, but if it displaces God in your life, it's an idol. This isn't a big one in this country, but I'll tell you what, you go to a Hispanic country, this is gigantic. Soccer, right? Well, golf. I'm not a golf guy, chase a little ball around. But anyway, one that's particularly big for guys. Nice, pretty, it's an old Corvette. See the guys drooling over him, right? They become gods to us. Some of the young people digital games. I've seen them sit in church. You think they're studying. They're playing their video game. A guy and his girlfriend came to chapel one day, and afterward I could see him. They're down like this. So after the meeting, I came down. I said, "What are you doing?" "Oh, we're studying, Mr. Bob. Our Bible's on our phone." "Oh, okay." The guy behind him said, "No, they were texting each other back and forth." Music can become a god. Some of the ladies, your home can become a god. Here's a big one. Well, beer, cigarettes. These can all come between you and God. They can keep you from becoming the man or woman of God that you're capable of being. God has you gifted to serve him. And if things come between you, it can destroy that. Who knows what this is? Huh? It could be a Powerball. It's a lottery ticket. Last week there was one guy who knew what this was, and afterward he came up to me and said, "I'm so sorry. I mean, I don't hardly ever buy those." And I did. Doesn't matter. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, the all-powerful dollar, right? Where's John? Well, he had to work today. You don't got to do anything but die, right? You don't got to do anything. Your God is very little if you think you have to support you and your family, right? God supports you. Who do you think gave you the brain to get that job? Who do you think made that job open for you? Who do you think you're really working for? Working for God. It's his job. It's his brain in you. It's him that does all of this for you. You can trust him. Seriously, you can trust him like my little gal at Walmart. Well, anyway, I'll just give you a little warning about this. What is that? Peace symbol. Peace symbol. Now, I'm quitting preaching. I'm starting meddling. You'll see a lot of these on the young people these days who weren't Vietnam-era people. This came about in the 60s and 70s during the Vietnam War. They called it a peace symbol. John Lennon had a song at that time about, just think, if there were no religion, we wouldn't have any wars, right? What this really is an upside-down cross, which is a satanic symbol, and not only is it upside down, but it's broken. It's a broken upside-down cross. It's saying, we need to get Christianity out of here, right? Peace symbol. I don't think so. Just so you're aware, I'm not a big freak on that, but anyway, it's not a good symbol. Here's the most dangerous idol in Captain Jack's box. What do you think the most dangerous idol in America is? Dave Hunt says it's the idol of psychology. It's a cult of psychology because it's in the church. But I think this one is even more dangerous than that. What do you think the most dangerous idol in this country is? Huh? Boy, that's close. It's close. No. Who said that? Self. Oh, you are beautiful, Brown. Missed a little spot here. You know what you need? You need a new car. If you had a new car, things would be a lot better. And wait a minute. Just a second. I'll introduce you to somebody. Oh, a new house? Boat, a new boat for my husband. Oh, amen. The God of self, most dangerous God in America. We, you know, love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? The Lord Jesus said, what's the most important commandment? Number one is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And the second is like unto it, that you should love your neighbor as you love yourself. There's a heresy going around. I think it's run its course now. But the heresy, generated primarily by Jim Dobson and a number of others, and I like a lot of his stuff, but the heresy was, see, that verse is teaching that you need to love yourself more so you can love others more. Listen, I'll tell you what, I already love myself plenty good. If there was one helping of that beef left up there, and you and I were at the table together, I'd get it. I'd get it. Because I love me. I love me. And what he's really saying is you need to love others the way you already love yourself. Be sacrificial. It's agape love. Go to Romans and look in Romans. Every time it mentions love, it's agape. It's God's kind of love. Except for one time. All the rest is God's kind of love. Most dangerous cult in America, the love of self. Putting self ahead of everything. I put self ahead of my neighbor. I put self ahead of God. I just need a few more bucks. You know, that over, I can get overtime on Sunday. Get time and a half. Double time sometimes. Man, oh man, you know. Otherwise, I'd just be sitting in church listening to Brown preach. I can get it on a tape recording, you know. Yeah. Most dangerous cult in America. Well, that's Captain Jack. Choose you this day who you'll serve. Whether it's the gods out of the world where you came from, the land of Egypt, and those pagan gods that you used to serve, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. A lot of the Christians in your local church are worshiping gods other than the real God. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he will never, never, never let you down. You can trust him. Put him to the test. I've said this before. I think he weeps for men and women willing to just step out and trust him. My friend Carl Knott went to Spain a number of years ago. And I was at a conference, and there were two elders in a meeting talking about Carl. And they said, did you know, I think Carl Knott's lost his mind. You know what he did? He sold everything he had and bought five tickets to Spain, one-way tickets. Took his family to Spain. Can you believe that? He's a missionary. I asked him, hey, Carl, when are you coming home? He said, I am home. Right, God called him to Spain. That's where he's serving. And I can tell you, the Lord has taken care of him for now 35 years or 40 years and done the same for Joanne and I. You can obviously tell I haven't missed too many meals. God will take care of you. You're his creation. He loves you. Your value to him is beyond anything you can imagine. But he wants you to trust him. He wants you to obey him, right? Build your house on the rock. Hear his word and do it. Not hear his word and don't do it. Be a believer who is an obedient believer. May God bless you and keep you. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Captain Jack and the lessons that he learned all over this world. People trusting in things. They take a piece of wood and cut it in half, and they heat their supper on one half and they make an idol out of the other half. How foolish can men and women be? And yet it's common even in this world that they trade their fellowship with you for a few extra hours so they can buy a new car or a swimming pool or a bigger house or whatever. Father, help us, Lord, to put our Christianity to feet. Help us to put it into practice in a practical way. We thank you. We thank you for each person who's come to camp, for each family represented. For each boy and girl and mom and dad, we thank you for this camp. We thank you for those who direct the camp and those who watch over us. We thank you for our lifeguards at the pool. And we thank you for those who lead the trail rides and do the sports and all of the things that go into making this a great camp. And so we ask your blessing on each one in Jesus' name. Amen.